Chazar Zeichen Nishmas Abachi Cheskel Shag, whenever I'm Yehuda, Mesech, the Shabbos, Daf Mem Ches. Rabban and Rebzeru were at the house of the Reish Kalus on Shabbos, and they saw one of the servants taking a bottle of cold water and putting it on top of the hot water kettle to heat up the water in the bottle. Rabba yelled at him to stop. Rebzeru asked Rabba, why is that different than putting one kettle on top of another hot kettle, which we said is allowed? So Rabba said, the difference is when you're putting one hot water kettle on top of the other, that's just to maintain the heat of the top kettle. Here, this servant is trying to heat up cold water, that's why it's not allowed. They then saw a servant take his turban off and put it over the opening of a bottle and put a ladle on top of it and put water through it. So Rabba again yelled at him to stop. Rav Zeir said, why are you yelling at him to stop? Rabba said, watch, wait, just wait and you'll see. And they then saw the servant take the turban and squeeze out the water that it absorbed in this process. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos, obviously. And although you're allowed to do this with a cloth that's made for that purpose, but Rabbi explained that a turban is different because people don't want it to be wet, and therefore you know that they're going to squeeze it out afterwards. That's why you're not allowed to use it. The Mishnah says, "V'loy b'tevin." If someone takes muchen and uses it for atmana, because muchen typically is used for a process to make some type of material, and therefore on Shabbos there's no use for it, it becomes muksa. But what if someone uses it for atmana? Is it still muksa like other muchen? Or from the fact that he's using it for atmana, it shows that it's no longer being used for the other thing, and therefore it's not muksa. Abaye said, one time use of muchen for atmana is just because the guy didn't have any cheaper stuff to use for the atmana. It doesn't show that this muchen is going to be miyuchet for atmana, and therefore it remains muksa. Maybe we could bring a proof to Abaya from a Bryce that says one may use Muchen Fatmona, but they're not allowed to be moved. The Chari says exactly what Abaya says. The Gemara says it's not a proof because it could be the Bryce saying two separate halachas. Number one is Muchen can be used for Fatmona. Number two is Muchen, which are not used for Fatmona, are also to be moved. And the Chiddush would be that you shouldn't think that Muchen are soft and therefore it can be used for sitting on and therefore it shouldn't be Muksa. The Bryce says no, they are Muksa because they're typically put away to use for materials. Rav Chista allowed putting the stuffing back into a pillow on Shabbos. Rav Chanan bar Chista asked him, the Braisa says, you're not allowed to put the stuffing into a pillow on Shabbos. The Gemara answers, the Braisa is talking about putting it in for the first time. That's when it's Osir. Rav Chista was talking about when it was already there and it came out, to put it back, that's allowed on Shabbos. Who the name of Rav said that someone who makes a neck hole in a garment for the very first time on Shabbos is Chayav Chatos. He has made that keli now. You can't stick your head in if there's no hole. By making a hole, you've now made a keli, you've made a beget. Rav Kahana asked, why is it different than cutting off the top of a barrel? It's also a closed item, and now you're opening it. So why is that allowed on Shabbos? So Rava said, the barrel cover is a separate piece of material and it's attached. Now you're opening it and therefore it's allowed. It was two separate pieces that were put together. The cloth is one piece of material. You're now cutting into it for the first time. You're making it into a keli for the first time. You've created something on Shabbos. That's why it's usher. Yirmiya Esrav Zeira, one mission says that when you have a temporary connection of kalim, for example, you have pieces of clothing that are loosely sewn together by a launderer who's for washing purposes, he wants them to be connected, so they're considered to be one for tumah purposes, meaning if tumah touches one, the other one that's connected becomes tumah, for as long as they're attached, or until one starts to detach them. From here you see that even if they're considered connected, even when the work, the washing, let's say, is not being done to them. However, another mission says, if someone puts a stick into an axe blade to use as an axe handle, it's considered connected for tumah only while work is actually being done with the axe. Seems to be stira. So Rav Zeira answered that when the work is no longer done being done with the axe, he takes that stick, that handle, and throws it back with the other pieces of wood. So that shows he no longer needs it. When it's sewn clothing, you know, if a person doesn't want to detach it, the person's happy to keep it that way in case he needs to wash it again, so he doesn't have to restitch it together again. That's the difference. That's why over there with the sewn clothing, it remains attached until the person starts detaching it. Rav asks, who's this Tana that Taka holds it when you put two things together, attach two things together, even though it's just for convenience, it's not for really the use of the item, like the clothing, as the din, like it's one item that they become Tameh. If one becomes Tameh, the other becomes Tameh. So Yehuda, the name of Rav said, we see from a mission it's actually the Shita of Rabbi Meir. How so? Because Rabbi Meir says inside an oven, sometimes they would put a small compartment to hold a bottle of oil, a bottle of spices, or a lamp, or something like that. So that compartment becomes Tameh along with the oven. Meaning, if the oven is touched by a Dover Tameh, the compartment becomes Tameh along with the oven. But he also says that if the oven just becomes Tameh from airspace, you know, which an earthenware keli could become, it would not make that inside compartment Tameh. But anyway, the fact that you see that it becomes Tameh through touching the oven, the compartment becomes Tameh since the compartment is attached to it. So you see that he is the Tana that holds this way. Why, Taka, is there a difference between when it gets touched directly or when it's through the airspace? Why then does the compartment not become Tameh? The Gemara explains because they're both only their Rabbanon. The Rabbanon were geyser in the case of when it touched because they wanted to become Tameh in that case. But when it only becomes tummy through the airspace, the Rabbanan did not want to be geyser, because they thought if they're going to be geyser over there, people are going to think that the compartment actually becomes tuma deraisa. And then if the compartment touches truma or something like that, people are going to burn the truma based on that, which is not really proper, because it's only the compartment only has a tuma derabbanan. So therefore, they said it does not become tummy when the oven becomes tummy through the airspace. It does not make the compartment tummy, so that people should not think it's a tuma deraisa. Raisa says regarding a scissors that comes apart or a carpenter's tool that comes apart, when they're together, they're considered connected for tumah. If one part becomes tummy, the other part becomes tummy also. But they are not considered connected for the halacha of para aduma, ashes being sprinkled on them, meaning if it's sprinkled on one, it's not considered to be sprinkled on the other part as well. Gemara asks, if they're connected for tumah, why are they not considered connected for sprinkling? Rav explains they're only considered to really be connected during while work is being done, but not when work is not being done. Therefore, the Rabbanim were geizer l'chumra when it comes to tumah, and said that they're even considered connected when work is not being done. But also l'chumra that they're not considered connected for spritzing even when work is being done.